Good morning out there in Radio Land. This is Mornings with Box 2 Radio on this beautiful May the 14th, 2024. And my, oh my, what a day it is to serve our great Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praying you're going to have a blessed day. Praying your day is going to be mightily used by the Father for great things, the kingdom of God to grow within your midst. Amen. And that the reach and the favor of the Lord would be upon you, and that you would be a light and a vessel of His glory into the earth this morning. Amen. Well, it's Tuesday, so that means there's none other than the, you know, when I think of, I say demon slaying, I think of the game. I'm not very good at these games, so I can't remember what it's called. Hannah, you're younger than me. Maybe you know. Is it like the one where you slice the fruit?
Oh, ninja.
Fruit ninja.
Fruit ninja.
Yeah, that's what I think of.
All right.
You're the fruit ninja demon slaying, Josh Milburn.
That's it. So that sounds all right, I guess.
Just got the Bible and just slaying demons.
Yeah, because he uses that sword, right?
That's right.
Cut right through it.
So. Hey, that's what I think of.
Sword the word.
That's it.
Every time I say demon slaying, I think of the...
Fruit ninja.
The fruit ninja.
I need to get that game again. That was fun.
Hey, on your phone sometimes you get these games and they'll run their course, right? You'll play them for so long, you're like, all right, I'm done with that. So
I had the game Skippo for a while. That ran its course.
Right.
Mini golf one at a time, that ran its course.
Yeah.
I hear that.
So have you given up on actual Skippo or just on your phone?
I just haven't played. I'll play Skippo anytime.
So you play cards quite a bit too, or not really, or just don't seem like you do as much now?
When we come over.
Yeah.
Oh, when y'all come over? That's right. We'll see at my granny and Pebbles, you know, every time you go over there, I mean, yeah, there's always some people playing cards.
Yeah, y'all are the real deal, though.
Well, I hear you. I'm not. They want me to play because they can always beat me for sure.
Now,
that's the only reason they want me to play.
It gets the real deal when you play spoons with Hannah.
Is that right?
Well, her and Ethan, they definitely...
are competitive against each other.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then poor Ethan, he tries not to cheat, but, you know.
Oh, man.
Yeah, he claims, what is it, at the end of it, when there's only one spoon left, he claims that even if you don't get the four, like, cards, that you should be able, if you see the other person starting to reach for it, that you should be able to steal it.
Really?
Even if you didn't get the four cards.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's what he thinks the rules should be. I don't think those are the rules.
Well, that's not so much what I was talking about, but that could be applicable.
Yeah.
But me and him's a lot of time partners in actual Skippo. And we're kind of like actual partners in Skippo.
Right.
And, well, I try to not hear it. But he does give hints.
Okay.
So if you're not seeing a move, he does make... Am I lying, Hannah?
No.
He tries to be inconspicuous about it, but it's not very inconspicuous.
Man, oh, man. So every time I see Ethan now, I'm going to think of what kind of moves that he gives during Skippo, right?
Well, really, you should probably just pray for him.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, poor Ethan. He's not even here to defend himself.
That's awful.
He is listening, though. I guarantee
it. Oh, that's funny. No, it is. I love playing Skippo with him. Spoons gets a little bit dangerous. I like my hands intact.
Yep, so, I hear you.
But no, it's good. I love fellowship and I love to hang out. Seemed like y'all had a good little crowd last night for the Bible study with young adults and pizza. That went well on a Monday night. And then Mother's Day, y'all had a beautiful picture of Mother's Josh over there at Madrid.
Yeah.
Tell you what, we was blessed with quite a few mothers, and even a couple mothers had their daughters there that morning. And it was a blessing to see them come through and be with their moms. That
so morning. Wonderful. So yep. Wonderful. And so just a glorious day to be alive. We have a prayer request that we want to pray over. Josh, won't you cover that prayer request, and we're going to pray for it.
Yeah, I sure will. Actually, some people know the name, but Dustin Lucas is his name. But actually, that is Jason Lucas's little brother, Dustin. Yeah, I got a text from his mama this morning. I knew several weeks ago he wasn't feeling well at all, didn't know what was going on, but all of a sudden I got a text from Birdie this morning and said that Dustin is having a liver transplant this morning. So let's remember Dustin, and also we'll go ahead and pray if that's
yes.
okay.
Yes, please.
All right. Lord, we come to you right now. We just thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. And Lord, I thank you, Lord God, that for people reaching out and understanding the need for prayer, Lord God, in every situation. And Lord, we lift up Dustin this morning to you right now, Lord Jesus, as we as he's going in for surgery this morning to have a liver transplant. We thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity, Lord Jesus, for him to be able to have this, Lord Jesus. But also, Lord God, for whoever donated that, I pray for that family as well, Lord Jesus. And also, Lord God, that everything, Lord Jesus, will come in connection with everything else, Lord God, and everything will be greater than it ever was. Lord, I pray now for health. I pray now for strength. I pray now, Lord God, for quick recovery, Lord. And I ask you right now, Lord Jesus, you just be upon Dustin, be with the family. Lord, I thank you for who you are, and I thank you for what you've done. And Lord, even today, Lord God, I pray now for each and every person that's listening by way of radio right now, Lord God. I bless these airways, Lord God, in whatever situation. Maybe other people are going through things today, Lord God. Maybe surgeries or maybe some kind of doctor's visit or whatever it may be, Lord God. I pray right now for strength. I pray now, Lord God, for empowerment in our bodies right now. Lord, I pray for the children, Lord God, this morning that's going to schools this morning. All the teachers, Lord, I just pray now for them, Lord God, as they finish up in the next couple of weeks. You just move in a mighty way, Lord God, upon every and each and every one, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for this time. Bless Brother Aaron and Sister Hannah, myself, Lord God, that we'll be able to be the light and the testimony that we need to be this morning. And in everything that we do, we give glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let me cover a couple of announcements. Bethel's Women's Spring Tea is here May the 18th, this Saturday at noon. Love to see you out there. All ladies are invited. Bring your young daughters. Some wonderful time for y'all to get dressed up, have a great time of fellowship with a great, great, great group of women. The I Am Tent Revival is going to be happening in Eastview with Pastor Chris and Pastor Tasha. That's June the 3rd through the June 9th. Zachary Capps Tent Revival is going to be happening June the 4th through June the 15th in Litchfield. And then there's another tent revival. Brother Whitney Ward's going to be doing one revival in White Mills, exit off of Western Kentucky Parkway. Address is 38 Wedmill Road, Eastview, Kentucky, 6 p.m. through Central. That's going to be May the 30th through the June the 1st. And so several tent revivals this time of the year.
Yep.
And then the Heritage Messengers is going to be in concert at Memorial Chapel, Church of God, Pastor Mike Biggs. He has a broadcast here on Sunday afternoons. All righty. Hannah, am I missing anything here?
Mm-mm. Lisa sent me the Miracle Tent Revival, the one with Whitney, too. So yep. You got it.
I got it. I got her.
I know where Eastview is now, Miss Lisa. It's close to White Mills, right? Because as I was on the parkway, I saw it. Now I'm in Jesus' name. I'm not going to get it mixed up.
You're forever connected with Eastview now, right?
Maybe I need to go to Eastview. I need to go. Well, I know what I need to do. Go to this tent revival. So.
There you go. There you go.
I messed up when Aaron was gone and said something about Eastview being near Irvington.
Yep.
I got my directions mixed
up. That's the opposite way.
That's the opposite way.
That's Westview.
Well, Westview, and I was even thinking in my mind, what do you consider near something?
Yeah.
Because do you consider Westview near to Irvington? Do you?
No.
See, I don't either. So, I'm not here to pick on Hannah at all, okay? I'm not.
Harned is.
But now, Harned, I would say yes.
I've been to Harned.
So
yeah, you've been to Harned probably.
One time.
One time.
Well, I mean, if you go to Hardsburg, you go through Harned.
I've been through it, but I've been actually at a church in Harned
time. Okay. I got you.
Fair enough.
But I don't know if I've ever been to, I've ever stopped in Irvington.
Okay.
Might have drove through it.
Yeah, you probably drove through it, but I don't know if you stopped there or not.
Harned is next to Irvington, sort of.
Sort of. Okay.
Kind of. We're in that area.
Yeah.
Right?
We're in the area. Yeah.
So Westview is close to Harned.
Okay.
So maybe we're distant cousins.
All right. I got you.
Okay, Westview. Is Mount Zion considered in Westview?
Yes.
Mount Zion Church.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Then I've been in Westview.
So it's like whenever you take extended release medicine.
Yeah.
It's on down the road.
Okay. Well, you
it's
say
still part of it.
Okay.
But
Harned's close to Irvington, but Garfield is even closer to Irvington than Harned.
That's true. That's true.
Oh, man. I'm on a rabbit trail this morning.
So,
Miss Lisa said, amen, Hannah. We on the map now.
All right. Eastview's moving on up to the east side.
That's right.
right. So Garfield would be the first cousin.
There you go. Okay, I got you now. There you go.
We're just trying to think of family.
Yeah.
We're all in this together. So.
Yeah. Yep. And my wife is up and listening this morning. All right. But she said, actually, my granny and Peppa that lives on McCoy Roth.
Yeah.
Their address.
Is Westview. Sure.
Hmm. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
I've noticed that before.
Yep.
Not sure just is. On theirs, but I just noticed that road.
It's about like me. Well, us living around here on South Highway 259.
Uh-huh.
Our address here before we moved where we are now was Litchfield, Kentucky.
That's
so that would be, yeah, and that would be hard for people when you describe that.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? You live in Brett County. No, your address is Litchfield. How can you? No, you don't live in Brett County because your address. Yes, I do. I live in Breckenridge County, but how's that even possible? I don't know, but it just is.
Yeah. Try to be in foster care and adoption process doing that.
I bet.
It gets so confusing.
I bet.
Maybe this is why the mail gets mixed up.
Well, I can tell you why. I can tell you why our mail gets mixed up.
Oh man! So
actually, it has been better lately.
Yeah,
it has been better.
Okay,
I'll say that it has been better. Yep. All right. Well, Daniel chapter 9, correct?
Mm-hmm. Verse 17.
Verse 17. Now I'm a little bit lost to where we're at, so Hannah's gonna have to lead the charge on this Bible study until I get back in the groove. All right, so let's go back up to 16. Can I just read from 14 just to kind of put
in
the moment?
Yeah, we can go back.
All right, therefore the Lord had kept Art ready for calamity and has brought it upon us. I'm reading from my ESV, sorry. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works that he has done, and we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and have made a name for yourself, as at this day we have sinned and we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteous acts, let your anger and your wrath turn away from your city Jerusalem, your holy hill. Because for our sins and for the iniquity of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a byword among all who are around us. Now, thou therefore, O our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to the pleads for your mercy. And for your own sake, O Lord, make your face to shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations in the city that is called by your name. For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, hear. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake. O my God, because your city and your people are called by your name. Powerful.
Yes.
In all reality.
It reminds me of the verse, that last portion of his prayer reminds me of, if my people are will humble themselves, fast, pray, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. That's what it kind of lines up with that.
I like that.
Verse.
Yeah, because I mean that I believe people even now realizing where they are, but then realizing where they need to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Here's what we have done.
Yeah.
You know, we know the problem. You know, a lot of times you can't fix a problem until you know the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But we know we need to do better. But I mean, even myself, my prayer life, sometimes I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm thinking, why isn't it a whole lot better than what it should be?
Yeah.
Here I have been serving the Lord so many years, but Lord, it's like I still need to have a deeper, a better prayer life, you know, and to know that, hey, I want to cry out to him for each and everything,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that when people ask me to pray for certain situations, just like this morning, that I can really take it before the throne of God and cry out to him. But I believe, I don't know why, but as Brother Aaron was reading that, I believe that, hey, where we are is not where we need to be,
mm-hmm.
but there's so much better than that. So,
amen. Anyway.
So then also, what did they say that last verse, as you say in verse 19? It says, O Lord, forgive. O Lord, forgive. I mean, at least, you know, a lot of times people will think about the Old Testament, the New Testament. Well, I just want to preach the New Testament because it's all about forgiveness, all about the mercy of God. You know, that's where we're engrafted in by the blood of Jesus. But still yet, during the Old Testament, there was people that really knew who the Lord was.
Mm-hmm.
That still he said, Lord, forgive us. because we have, you know, why did he say that? Because more or less, if they were asking forgiveness, they realized that they have sinned. They realized that they had iniquity in their hearts. They realized that, you know, that even David many times said, "Oh Lord, even in my mother's womb, I was shaping in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." But still yet, he pointed direction to Jesus. He pointed direction to the Lord, saying, "Forgive me of the heart of my heart for what I have done." So,
yeah. I don't know why, but this just came to me, clicked in my mind as you were speaking, Brother Josh, about how, you know, the Word, we know what the Word says. I don't know what you just said that made this click in my mind, okay. But it was something about him saying, forgive, and he knew that the Lord, he knows the Lord's character. That's what you were saying. You were saying, right. Like, they know right. The Lord, but he was still asking for forgiveness. And for some reason in my mind that clicked, that we know what this Word says, yeah. And we know the promises of God, but even yet, the reason the Lord still wants us to petition and pray, communicate with him, yeah. Is because we still have to seek him in right. Order for all these things to fall into place, because yeah. Seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added unto
that's
you.
Right.
So
right.
I think sometimes we can just expect all these promises to come to our life because we know the Word and we can even speak the Word out loud. But it's more than even just speaking the Word
that's
out
right.
Loud. It's about having a relationship with him.
Yes.
Because he's not going to pour out these promises on someone who doesn't have a relationship with him and who's not seeking him.
That's right.
So that just clicked to me that, you know, we know his character, but we still have to go to him.
That's
and
exactly
talk
right.
To him and ask him and petition. So that just clicked there when you were talking about that, how, you know, they knew the Word, they knew the Lord, but yet even Daniel still, he still petitioned to the Lord. And I think that's showing, like, reverence. I really,
yes.
I think that's really what the fear of the Lord is not assuming and having that mentality of, the Lord's just going to hand everything to me.
Right.
Without me spending time with him, without
right.
Me seeking him
yep.
First.
That's exactly it. I mean, and even though that we see prayers throughout the Old Testament, it seems like also, even though some of them are worded different, but even when it said, "Oh my God, incline thine ear and hear," more or less saying, "Hey, I'm talking. I want
yeah.
You to hear me now." You know, more or less the one that was praying was saying that. And actually, David, one of his prayers was, "Incline your ear." You know what I'm saying? And we think about, you know, more or less you're saying, "Lord, I really want you to hear me on this one."
Yeah.
"Lord, if you could hear me on this one, because my ear, I want inclined to hear what you're saying, but also I want you to hear what I'm saying."
Yeah.
You see, and a lot of people, I believe, would think, man, that's a little bold and that's a little much to tell God Almighty to say, "Incline your ear. Hey, listen to me." You know, but the Lord has given us authority to say, hey, when you want somebody to listen, you got to get their attention somehow.
Yeah.
You know, even like, you know, I go back to this quite a bit. As far as when we preach or teach or even pastor now on a Sunday morning, you know, you can, Brother Aaron, even you up there handing and singing and stuff, you can see who's really engaging himself in here, trying to hear from the Lord. Then you got others that maybe not as much. You know what I'm saying? But we need the people that will rise up in the day and age now to say, "Lord, all right, incline your ear to what I'm about to say, because there's some things that need to take place. Things that need to, there's people that need to be healed. There's people that need to be set free. There's people." You say, well, the Lord knows that. But think about it is, unless we pray for it, unless we put it out there, unless we seek for it, then why should he do it?
Yeah.
Because he has the best interest for all of us. But if we don't see that, if we don't pray for that, if we don't say, "Lord, forgive me of everything that I've done. Lord, if there's anything inside of my heart that I don't even realize, expose it. Expose
yeah.
It. See, I think a lot of times, excuse me, we want the Lord to forgive us. But really, if we're saying, "Lord, forgive me of anything I've done," and you don't know anything you did, but I think you need for him to expose it if you did anything.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I don't believe that we have to live in sin. We don't live in sin. We don't sin every day. But still yet, we live in a sinful world that can at any time cause us to slip or do something that maybe we don't even know. So, Lord, not only forgive me of things that I've possibly done, but expose it to me, too. Expose
yeah.
It to me, too. and helped me to realize that, hey, I don't need to be doing that no more.
That's really good, because if it never gets exposed, then you're going to keep doing it.
That's right. And I know I've said this on the radio before, maybe if somebody new is listening or whatever, but I remember as a teenager, us having some visiting minister come by, but he's very young. He's probably not much older than us. His teenager, probably 20, 22 years old or whatever. But I remember him speaking, and I remember him saying to us that time, said, yeah, I know that you have to sin every day. And all of us teenagers, we were like 13, 14 years old, we started looking around. Of course, Brother Ron was there too, as, you know, of course, our pastor, of course, Brother Jason, our youth minister and stuff. And but it was a youth night or something. I forgot exactly what it was. But I mean, we was like, man, it just didn't sit with us then, even as a young teenager, knowing that probably, to be honest with you, several of us in there might have been doing that every day. But we know that's not what God has called us to do. And so then I remember afterwards that Brother Ron and some of them just, you know, just talked to him. They didn't holler out right in front of him, but that what they done was they said, all right, here's why we believe that really you don't have to live in that every day. You know, took him to scripture and said this and said that. It says, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father. You know, he's made a way where you don't have to do that all the time. So, see, even though the prayer of the one said forgive, they realized that the Lord made a way where they didn't have to do that all the time. But still yet, all right, but Lord, forgive us, but now hearken to us. And see how grateful it is that we have a faithful God. That even in the middle of us doing wrong, if we realize that, said, all right, from this moment on, forgive us, Lord. All right, forgetting about the rest of that. All right, let's go on. Because I want to hear you speak. I want to hear you pray. I want to hear you talk to me. So,
wow.
Yeah.
There's so much there.
Well, I was rereading the whole chapter.
I kind of thought that.
I was just looking.
No, that's good.
Get my bearings on straight. but here, Daniel... This is Daniel's prayer for the people.
Yeah.
Like his people. Yep. This whole chapter is mm-hmm. talking about his people. And he's praying for them. And in 17 and through 19, and, you know, of course, we're getting ready to get into some 70 weeks issues and stuff like that in a few church verses down. But here we're talking about Daniel. And there's a few things I think Daniel prays for. I mean, it's hard not to go back. I know y'all right. already discussed earlier about, like, you know, not listening to the prophets, to not hearing the word of God, not heeding the word of God. Daniel's praying, and he's calling all these things out. Like, he's praying and confessing these things. And one thing Daniel does is when Daniel does the same thing kind of Moses does a little bit. Like, when you're a leader, you include yourself in the sins of the people. Mm-hmm. We've done
Amen.
This.
Amen.
We've done
yes.
this.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
Daniel probably didn't really do it, though.
Right.
Moses probably really didn't right. do it. But he said, we've done this.
But
and
he's
we
still
need to repent.
A part of that people. We talked about that on Friday, Brother Rick. You know, even though he might not have done it, he's still a part of that people. Just like, even if you didn't do something, but your family has this stronghold, even if you never even did anything, it's still our responsibility to pray and say, Lord, deliver my family. Like, deliver us. As
yeah.
a, and I think that shows our love. That's kind of what we were talking about on Friday, was a leader having love for their people rather than just... focusing on themselves, because it's like I care enough about them to humble myself and know that we're connected,
right?
Because regardless, whatever the people do is going to affect Daniel, even if he didn't do it.
Yeah. And then of course 17, you know, he goes, listen to your prayer of your servant and to the pleas for mercy. Now mercy is defined as not getting what I deserve.
Wow.
So mercy does not exempt you or say you didn't do anything. Mercy is you're getting something other than what you deserve. But mercy cannot be applied fully unless something else takes the spot.
Right.
Or then it becomes unjust. And so that's really what Jesus unlocked. And that's why the greatest mercy we've ever received is through Christ, because he paid the judgment. And so now God can withhold what we deserve, because what we deserve has already been put on Christ.
Right.
And so he's asking for his mercy. And he says, make your face shine upon your sanctuary, which is desolate, which is basically a statement here saying that your glory, your anointing, they're in exile. Israel's actually in exile at this point.
Okay.
So now they don't even really have a temple. It's the face is not shining. He's praying. And he's basically praying, Lord, let your glory shine upon. Let your face shine upon the Israel again. Let it shine upon the temple again, because the temple was the centerpiece. It was the mark of covenant. It was the mark of relationship. It was really the thing that separated Israel in a lot of areas. The glory of God resided in the temple, correct? Like, whenever the Philistines stole the glory of God, they stole what marked and separated Israel. Israel was not separated just because of who they were. Israel was separated from what they carried. It was the Ark of the Covenant and the glory of God that separated Israel. Because you look at, like, remember when David tried to bring the Ark back from the Philistines? The Philistines had stole the glory, correct?
Yep.
They had stole the Ark of the Lord. Now, the Ark of the Lord did not work for them.
No.
That's something peculiar. That it didn't really work for them.
That's a great point.
And it was just a piece for them.
Yeah.
But when it got back into Israel, you remember David was bringing it back the wrong way. Uzzah got killed. So how you lose a Uzzah, right? But then they dropped the ark at Obed's house, right? Obed.
Come on.
And his house just starts to explode with the glory of God, the blessing of the Lord.
Right.
And they got, like, I just say it in modern day words, they got bacon bigger than anybody. Their apples were the size of your head. Honestly, I know it's kind of being funny, but
but that's basically what it was.
Incredible blessing.
Yes.
It was the glory of God positioned in Israel that provoked the blessing of the Lord and the glory of God to reside there.
Right.
And this is what Daniel's praying. Make your face to shine again on the temple, on the sanctuary.
Right.
On that dwelling place of us. And then he says, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolation. That's some really strong language from Daniel.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to tell the Lord to open his eyes?
It's got to be the Lord telling me to do that, I guess. That's what I was saying when he said even to incline your ear. Listen to me.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Whoa. How can I, as his servant, as this child, tell my master, the savior of the world, to say, hey, can you listen? He didn't say, can you listen to me?
Yeah.
He said, listen to me.
Yeah.
And there's a difference.
Yeah. And I don't think he did it from a place of arrogance, he did it from a place of confidence.
Yes.
He knew who his God was. And the second part of 18, I think, is probably the pivotal part. He says, do we not present our, and I'd like to, I'm going to read it from the ESV again, and Josh, if you'll read it from the KJV.
That's fine.
For we do not present our pleas before you because of our righteousness, but because of your great mercy. What's the key KJV read?
Verse 18, right?
Yep.
It says, oh my God, incline thy ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by the name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies.
So pretty close.
Yeah.
They're really close.
Yeah.
Daniel saying, we're not doing this. We're not coming because of us.
Yeah.
Daniel don't think. See, I think this is where he shows his confidence in the Lord, because just where he got some strong language of, hey, you need to open your eyes and see.
That's right.
He did it from a place, I'm not able to approach you because of what I'm doing, Lord.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm approaching you because you have great mercy. And it's just like this unraveling thing. And then, of course, we know 19, oh, Lord, hear, forgive, pay attention and act. Delay not for your own sake. And Daniel keeps saying this stuff, like, for your own sake. These are your people.
Yep.
This is your name on the line.
That's right.
These are the people that you have chosen. Act.
Yep.
Move.
Yep.
And he's praying for the glory of God to come back. He's praying for his face to shine. He's praying for the light of the glory of heaven to fall again.
Amen.
And we're getting ready to see this. And with the 70 weeks, depending on where you want to go, which this 70 weeks is probably going to be a little bit different than what you think it is. But I don't think it's Antiochus, or however we decided to say it yesterday, Antiochus. I have some other theories on it. But we'll cover that. I don't know if we'll get to it tomorrow, maybe Thursday. We'll see how that 70 weeks goes in 24. But it is a strong prayer from Daniel.
Right.
Yeah.
Really strong prayer. And pretty strong language.
Yeah. And I was thinking about, of course, I did have this in my footnotes, and I read it last Tuesday morning. But I mean, even within this prayer, Brother Aaron, I think we can see also where this set up for us as a model prayer for us to pray. You know, even in the model prayer, that the Lord says this is how you need to be praying. You know, in the model. So within this prayer as well, I believe are some key points, some key examples of the model prayer itself of how we should pray. See, a lot of times, you know, we think about the Lord's Prayer. You know, some of those things, the model prayers are prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody talks about the Lord's Prayer, but I think that the Lord's Prayer, John 17, and said that what was his main objective in that prayer was that my body would be one. My body would be one.
That's right. Hallelujah. Sounds like some rain outside.
I hear it now.
I think my truck window was down.
It's down now?
It's going to stay down because I ain't going out.
Well, it's the 7:30 break.
All right. There you go.
I still ain't going out.
Oh, my goodness.
Tuesday question number one. It needs a good dusting.
All right, dude.
Tuesday question number one. What was the name of the island where Paul and his companions landed after the shipwreck? What was the name of the island where Paul and his companions landed after the shipwreck? 270-257-2689. We'll be right back here after the break on Mornings with Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here after the break. Still no trivia answer yet. What was the name of the island where Paul and his companions landed after the shipwreck? What was the name of the island where Paul and his companions landed after the shipwreck? 270-257-2689. It sure is raining out there. It's coming down pretty good. It's also raining in here. By the presence of the... Whoa! A little bit of organ right there. I said, come on now. Oh, it hurts my ears. I have so much pressure in my head. Anything above a whisper, my ears. All right, Hannah, take us off into Kingdom Corner.
Okay. All right, so today I am in, let's see here,
yep,
James chapter 4.
That's it.
And I have two different verses here. James chapter 4, verse 8, and then James chapter 4, verse 17.
It was okay.
So James chapter 4, 8 is, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And then James 4, 17. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. And these are two verses that have really been sticking out to me lately, especially the, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this in Proverbs chapter 6. We've been talking about just the different wisdom, the different commandments that Proverbs gives us about not sleeping and waking up and being not just physically awake, but awake to what the Lord has for us. And I think a lot of times we think about sin, we think about the big sins. And we've talked about this too, is we think about addiction. We think about strongholds with, you know, substances like alcohol and drugs and the things that are very easier sin to see. But this is saying here, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, it is sin. And I'm like, wow, Lord, like, so any time that we are giving into the flesh, even if it's something, even if it's just not feeling like doing what the Lord is telling us to do, that is sin.
Yeah.
Even if it's choosing to, you know, sleep or stay home instead of doing what the Lord's telling you, instead of praying or reading our word, that's sin, because it's knowing the right thing to do and failing to do it. And I think sometimes we don't recognize that. We just think like it's just our choice. Like we just, you know, we're not strong enough in the Lord. But I don't think we view that bothers us, that it's sin. And
right.
It really is. And then, you know, the Lord was speaking to me on that, is whenever we put our preferences and our comforts it, when that is our first priority, that is sin, because it's giving into our flesh and it's denying our spirit. And he tells us to give into the spirit and deny our flesh. And so we have to lay those things aside and choose the right thing that it talks about in James 14. Because that sin of feeding the flesh, whatever that looks like, it might even be things that aren't necessarily inherently evil or bad. It might just be giving into ourself and pleasing ourself by doing what's comfortable, doing what you know, if we're tired, giving into that fleshly, struggle, or, you know, we've talked about fasting. If he tells us to fast, but we're giving in to eating, you know, that is sin if he's telling us to do it and we're not doing it.
That's exactly right.
And this isn't to bring condemnation or anything like that, because he's going to speak different things at different times. But we also do have commandments in the word to pray and fast. I mean, it tells us to do that. It tells us to study to show ourself approved. So when we're not doing those things, we are sinning. And I just think sometimes we let ourselves off myself. Like I'm speaking to myself. He's speaking this to me.
Apparently you're speaking to Brother Aaron Tucker. He just texted me. He said, "Oh me, when you speaking, he says she's exactly right." So I said, "Me too, brother." So.
I thought you was gonna say speaking to Aaron. I was like, "Look."
I'm like, wow, he's texting in.
I didn't say.
I'm just sitting here over at work and minding my own business.
That caught his ear, right? I'm sorry.
No, hey, no.
You trying to make me fast?
Hey, I'm not making anything. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the word of God.
I'm just over here minding my own business.
That's right. He heard Brother Aaron, so he thought he'd answer.
I let the word of God speak for itself. But what he's really showing me is that, you know, it's not those other sins that are the only ones that separate us from God's presence. It's when we're not reading our word, when we're not praying, when we're not fasting, when we're not doing these commands that he gives us. It's not a command just to tell us what to do, but it's he's giving us the steps to draw near to him. Because in that other verses, draw near to God and he will draw near to you.
Yeah.
Simple as that. Draw near to him. And how do we draw near to him? By reading the word, by praying, by fasting. And the reason that fasting draws us near is because it's teaching us how to crucify our flesh.
Come on.
And then we get better and better at saying no to what we want. And when we say no to what we want, we're going to say yes to what he has. We're going to be more, we're going to gravitate towards saying yes more than saying no to him. Right. When we do that, because it'll be like muscle memory, and it'll change our habits in that way. And I mean, this is just a really simple kingdom corner, but I think it's a really big key to the kingdom, because we have, like, this is the thing that will keep us close to him.
That's it.
And we have to put action to our faith, like we've been talking about. We talked about this. Pastor Aaron talked about this on Sunday. His wife Heather prophesied this. I mean, it just keeps coming up. He keeps speaking this to me in his word. He's speaking it to a lot in the body of Christ right now. Is just, it's time to put feet on the ground.
Amen.
It's time to put action to our faith. Faith without works is dead. Faith without obedience is dead. If we're just talking the things, and I talked about this yesterday with Peter, he often talked the talk. Like, he told the Lord, "I'll never do this." He was so vocal, but his actions weren't lining up with what he was saying.
Yeah.
And I don't want, and the Lord humbled me, because he's like, you know, these are the ways you're doing the same thing. Like, I do the same thing. And we have to get to that point where we're tired of talking the talk and not walking the walk.
Come on now.
And the thing is, we can't do it in ourselves. So he's going to give us grace. He's going to be there with us. And if we mess up, we're going to get right back up and try again with him. He's going to help us. But we just have to be moving. We have to be taking action. Jeremy Stone. That's pretty much all the Kingdom Corner is, that we must put action to our faith and God will give us grace as long as we are active with him. That's what he's shown in every area, not just the fasting, not just the reading the word, praying, all of it.
Yeah.
But that's the corner today.
Well, I mean, you must have got, of course, I don't know about that Brother Aaron in there, if he's stirred this morning or not, but but this Brother Aaron Tucker, he says, sure, she is on it, said that we need to keep it simple. We need to keep it simple is what he got out of that, because, you know, so many times, and I mean, we've talked about this before, many times before, Brother Aaron, and I mean, and then I was thinking about Hannah as you read verse 8 there. It said, cleanse your hands, you sinners, is what the King James Version says. And I was thinking about even the prayer that we read a while ago in Daniel. You know what I'm saying? Cleanse us, you know, and do all, you know, but knowing that the prayer of the people is like that. I mean, we need to be clean. You know, if we can't be clean, it ain't no sense in us advancing on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If we cannot be clean, if we cannot have a pure heart, if we can't have something, and that's why it's so important for us to not only pray for holiness, but to stay holy. Okay.
Yeah.
And like I've said this many a time before. I said there's nothing wrong with always doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And see, if you're always trying to do the right thing and always doing the right thing, you ain't got to make up nothing. The story will all be the same. Always be the same.
Yeah.
That's why Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because he was always the same. He's always someone that he never sinned. He walked upon this world, and he never gave in to temptation. Was he tempted? Yes. But did he give in to it? No. You see, that's what I think a lot of people think. A lot of people think that temptation in itself is sin. But no, temptation is you knowing that no matter what it's thrown in front of you, that you're going to say, Lord, I love you, and Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do. Why? Because at the beginning of the day, every night, what have you done? You have said, Lord, you have cleansed me. Cleanse my heart. Incline your ear to me and cleanse me right now. You say, well, yeah. Lord, you've been saying that for years. But, I mean, what better prayer could I have than the Lord always making me new again and making me just be like him? You know what I'm saying? We don't know, but when we do know him, we shall be, when he does appear, we shall know him. And we'll be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll be captivated by his presence. Because when he comes for his bride, We that are of his bride, we are that of his remnant, are going to be prepared. We're going to be ready for that day whenever it is. And
yeah.
I mean, in order for us to be prepared that time, we must exactly do that. We must cleanse our hearts and cleanse our hands. You know, and again, you said verse 17 there. I mean, I love that, how it talks about knoweth to do good and doeth it not. You know, the course, King James Version has these words that I love about the ending of the words, the ETHs that I talk about often. Because, I mean, knoweth, that means we're constantly knowing what we should do or constantly knowing what we shouldn't do.
Yeah.
I mean, it don't take a genius to do the right thing. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times we try to complicate it. Even myself, as somebody that preaches or teaches, sometimes you'll add words in or you'll say this and you'll try to do that. But still, yet, like I go back also what Brother Aaron Tucker said a while ago, you know, just keeping it simple. Because when you keep it simple, you keep it real.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what this way is. This is a real way. This is a true way. This way we must follow.
And it has the results we want. Miss Gail texted in and said, obedience brings us such happiness. It's so crazy that we sin.
That's
so true, because
exactly right.
We know what the outcome is going to be when we're doing the thing that we know we're not supposed to do, but we do it anyways, and then we're miserable every time. And so I agree with that.
Yeah, and we, you know, was talking about that, but if we don't get that out there to people that knows, you know, if they are in sin, you know what I'm saying, why should they not do this? You know, you tell me that I shouldn't do this, but why should I not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think of people that are so caught up in just hearing, well, you shouldn't do that. Well, then tell me why I shouldn't.
Yeah.
All right, if we can't tell somebody why they shouldn't do something, then we probably ain't got a right of why we should tell them that they couldn't do it.
I think if we would tell people consequences more.
Yeah, there you go.
If you do that.
Yep.
This is the consequence of it. It would turn more people away. Now, not everyone, because, I mean, even Christians, that's, you know, part of this word. We know what the consequence is going to be, and yet we still do it.
That's right.
And that's when there's a real problem there, because it's like, like it says here, well, we are double-minded. Even though we know what the consequence is going to be, when we're double-minded, we're thinking of Jesus, and we're thinking about the sin.
Right.
We're thinking about it, and double-mindedness, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So that means we're not really on that firm foundation if we're double-minded. we're not standing on the firm foundation. And like you were saying earlier, when, you know, Jesus, he, when we meet him, you know, everything is going to be perfect, but he's not coming back for a double-minded bride.
That's right.
So that's why he's trying to get us, he's trying to get us established now,
yep,
to prepare us for when he comes back. And that's just really good.
Well, it's kind of sad also that, you know, the preparation for Jesus, but then when we gather together, there's probably certain people in our presence that's not ready to meet him,
yeah,
you know, in our churches or whatever. And that's what's sad, even though, and I mean, I think of people that's been in saying they know in Jesus for many years. That's why I want to make sure that my heart is clean. My heart is pure. My heart is where it needs to be, so that, you know, that when he does come, or whether he does come, I'm here for when he steps through that cloud, or if I'm done going on, that I'm going to be resurrected to be just like him.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people a lot of times, I mean, from time to time, I'm sure Brother Aaron in there probably gets it sometimes. People say, well, is this the time? Is this the time the Lord's going to come back? You know, is this the year? I remember in high school, you know, as a senior, when Y2K happened. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know that was a little bit before your time, Hannah. But anyway, I remember that when Y2K happened, you had this, people were going crazy there for a minute. Oh my goodness, what's going to happen? Is this the end? Is this it? All right, people were ready for it to be it. But then there was others that was preparing, well, if it's not, then I'm going to stash away this. We're not going to be able to get this. We're not going to be able to get that. And then, you know, that was in my time when I was a teenager, Y2K. So then people were preparing for that. And then along the way, several years later, you got this, they're preparing for this, they're preparing for that. But still yet, I hope that most importantly, we're preparing for the Lord.
Amen.
You know, because he hasn't come yet. But still yet, I'm not going to quit saying, I'm not going to quit preaching that one day he's going to come. And I would love to be the generation he comes for. But if I'm not, just like I got a grandkid getting ready to happen, if he don't come by Thursday, he'll be here Thursday, all right? But see, what I'm saying is I'm preparing for his generation.
Yeah.
All right? I'm preparing for him when he grows up to says, hey, look, your generation, you know, your pops or whatever, that's what I'm going to be called, pops, is I declare that I'm a child of God, and I want you to raise up, and I want you also to be a child of God. You know,
amen.
So, I mean, even I'm excited about it, about generations to come, but still yet knowing that along the way that there's going to be a generation that he's coming back for. And if we're not preparing ourselves, if we're not the bride of Christ, if we're not spotless, if we're not, you know, then that's, but what makes us spotless? Everybody talks about, well, what can I do to be spotless? You can just call upon Jesus and he'll, yep, make you that way. See, we think we got to work at this, work at that. No, his blood does that. His blood does that.
Amen.
But we're trying to do it ourselves.
Jeremy Stone said, since I gave my life back to the Lord, it seems like the sin and temptations of the past got worse. But as I give it to God, I have noticed it's not as bad. I noticed that when I don't stay by the Lord's side the way I'm supposed to, the devil finds cracks in my walk and tries to get back in. But in the end, the devil loses. Amen.
Amen. That's a good word. That's a good word.
That is good. And he also said, praying God sends Aaron the spirit of a super fast against cheesecake and Fruity Pebbles.
Oh, man.
I don't know what a spirit of a super fast is, but hey now.
Well, I don't think there's a witness.
There ain't no witness.
No,
there,
I get
right?
What he's saying, though, because, like, you know, like, we have, like, a, not a spirit, like, a, you know,
right,
but, like, our
right
spirit, like,
yes,
our cheerfulness and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, that's
like,
it.
Like, gets his spirit.
There's nothing cheerful about fasting cheesecake and Fruity Pebbles. That sounds horrible.
It might not be cheerful at first, but it's,
oh,
what's
my
the word?
Goodness.
Self-discipline, that
wow,
fruit of the spirit. Fruit.
It sounds like Aaron would rather fast everything else than cheese. No, just decent.
I mean, I still think about that cheesecake I didn't eat that one night at the Mexican restaurant. That looked so good.
Wow.
And it was Joe Taylor's fault.
It is.
It was.
Man, oh man.
He had to tell me this story about living a long age for your kid's sake and eating better.
Wow.
So, just going to find somebody else to go with me on trips now.
No. Lord, we pray he keeps going with Joe.
No, I love Joe. Joe can go anywhere with me that I go.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Now, I do want to say this. Brandon Goostry said, at least he ain't coming for your bacon. That's right. It was just Fruity Pebbles and cheesecake. All right. So, but what you all were talking there, and I'm being quiet here because I'm trying to massage my nose.
Yes.
I've used a whole box of Kleenexes this morning already. It's bad. Is you all were talking about growing and, you know, holiness and not being double-minded and not sinful and stuff to that regard. And I taught pretty in-depth 2 Peter chapter 1. Actually, we only really got three through. What did we get through? I taught 2 weeks, about 2.5 hours in the last 2 weeks on 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1-10.
On your Wednesday nights?
No, on Sunday mornings.
Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're probably tired of me because
honest with you, the last two Sunday mornings, there for a while, Brother Aaron, it's like, of course, after we've done all of our church things and stuff like that, get out of church and get in the car, then I'm like, oh, man, Bethel's off. And it's like that forever. Then last two or three, I'm like, wow, Aaron's still going. That's awesome.
Yep, yep. I was teaching a lot.
That's great.
And we taught on 2 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 9, 3 through 10. And talking about, you know, we're adding from our faith, virtue, or character, basically. A better translation is character. Yeah. Moral excellence, character.
Right.
And then from character, we're going to add knowledge or understanding. Understanding to self-control. Self-control to steadfastness. Steadfastness to brotherly affection or philios. And then philios to agape, the love. And so talking about these things. But Peter said something there I think so great. And in the midst of our talking about sin and stuff this morning, this is not to ever excuse sin. We should ferociously attack sin.
Come on.
Right?
Like, yeah.
But also, I do think sometimes people have this expectation they're going to be perfect tomorrow. And their steadfastness is going to be just incredible. And we talked about this yet over the last 2 weeks of like, we're predestined to be conformed in the image of the Son. That's a lifelong conforming. It just, I mean, spiritually, I have been made right. I've been justified, just as if I have never sinned. But, Josh, you're going to look more like Jesus 10 years from now than you do right now.
Come on.
That's the beautiful thing.
I got you.
And Peter says this in here, and this is not the verse to allow people to sin. This is the verse to allow people to realize you're ever progressing in your Christ-likeness and to let that be formed in you. But also, I think what happens... And I can feel, I need more tissues. What happens is that we've made the statement, the devil can't defeat you. The devil only wants you to quit. Mm-hmm. As a born-again believer, he can't defeat you. That's scripture. Like, the evil one cannot touch you. Like, can there be demonic attacks? Can there be demonic strongholds? Of course. Like, that's not a question. Like, that's oppression. That's vexation. That's not defeat. And what the enemy's hope is that 1 Timothy chapter 4 will come into manifestation, those who depart from the faith. So the enemy cannot defeat you. Who can pluck you out of my hand? Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. Who can pluck you? What can pluck you? Absolutely nothing can pluck you out of my hand.
Come on.
I've got you.
Yeah.
The only thing he can get you to really do is to quit.
Right.
And so many people quit because they're marching, they're running, and then they trip up one day and they quit. And I just want to encourage somebody that, like, even what Hannah was saying earlier, I think it's really good. Like, and I think it's really prevalent, and I think it's all truth. And I think if you ever heard me teach or preach, or if you ever heard talking to myself, I think we should ferociously hate sin.
Amen.
I'm with you, Josh. I don't think we have to sin every single day. But have I sinned?
Come on.
That's where
that's
grace
truth.
Has happened.
That's truth.
All right. And so I don't want to sit there and put, like, Hannah was talking about, and I think it's true, again, let me go back to that, that if we know to do right and we don't do it, it's sin. Like, there's truth. There's 100% truth. And what happens is, like, Peter says this in 1 Peter chapter, and I know we got to go to break, 1 chapter 1, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, for if these qualities are yours, so they are mine, and they are increasing. And so I just want to encourage somebody this morning, and I just feel this in my spirit. Like, you love the Lord, and you are walking with Him, and you feel like sometimes I get people, I had one person not too long ago ask me, so who are you going to preach against today? All right. And so, like, because I know I'm a hard guy sometimes, and I probably say stuff that a lot of preachers probably wouldn't say. But I just want to encourage somebody today. Right. You feel like you are just a complete failure, and you're probably not failing as much as you think you are.
Amen.
And I just feel like somebody needs to hear that. Like, and should you hate sin? Absolutely. Are you enslaved to sin? Absolutely not. You have been set free. You have been made right. I am 100% behind what Miss Hannah and Pastor Josh said earlier. 100%.
Right.
100%. I don't think we have to sin every day. I don't think we're bound to sin. I think if you know to do right, I think if you know to fast and you refuse to fast, it's a sin.
Come on now.
100%. But I do feel like there's some people out there that's just, you realize there's some things in your heart. I'm not talking about like you're just sleeping with everybody in sight and you don't care. Like, I'm not talking about that. Like, that's a different issue. But there's some people out there, you're still struggling with unforgiveness. You're still struggling with this anger towards somebody that really hurts you. You're still struggling against thoughts of depression and anxiety. You're trying to shake it, and you can't. And you're letting condemnation rule your life because you feel so condemned because you can't shake it. And I'm not talking about these blatant unrepentant sins. I'm talking about these things that the Lord's wooing your heart and dealing with your heart. And Hannah shared this testimony, so I'm going to share her testimony again for her. There were some things she was working through for a while. And honestly, we even was together with her in the office before talking about some of these things. And you saw this progression. And you saw how the Lord was dealing with her on some things. And then one night at a tent meeting, the Lord radically set her free. Am I wrong about that? Like, mm-hmm. it was a season of progression.
Mm-hmm.
If she would have quit in the middle of the season because she hadn't arrived yet. And I think this is where Paul is so prolific in saying this. He says, I have not arrived. But mm-hmm. this one thing I do, I'm going to press towards the calling. So I just want to encourage somebody before we go to the break. You have not arrived yet, and you realize that. But keep pressing. Keep pushing.
Mm-hmm.
Keep growing. Keep praying. Keep fasting. Keep doing what you know to do. And I'm telling you, the thing in your heart that you really want freedom from will come.
Yeah.
It will come.
In Jesus' name.
And
amen.
I just feel like sometimes people want that freedom. They're not in that freedom yet, and they quit too early.
Mm-mm.
Because of condemnation and guilt and shame. That's not yours.
Mm-mm.
And again, this is not talking about you're just out there grotesquely sinning, unrepentantly doing everything. I'm talking about this is where you're walking with the Lord. You're striving. You're going. Yeah. You're moving. Does that make sense?
Yes,
it does.
Yeah, because that was actually the biggest thing in this word was God will give us grace as long as we are active with Him. That was like, He's going to give us grace no matter what. But
I like that point.
he's going to give us grace as long as we're walking with Him, you know, as long as we're getting back up, you know, as long as we're not leaving Him and like going backwards, as long as we're on the race, like He's not expecting us to be perfect. So I completely understand what you're saying, because all He wants us to do is just keep getting back up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the sin is going to happen. Like, I don't want to say that because I know we don't have to sin, but the sin has already been covered by the blood of the Lamb. So that's why we don't have to be under condemnation.
Yeah.
And we can keep getting up because we have an advocate. Every time we have an advocate. And we're not going to want to. We're not going to want to keep doing it. And the reason is because sin separates us from the Lord.
Yeah.
That's the reason why we don't want to be double-minded. And we want to do what we know. But even when we don't, we can get back up and do and try again.
Sure. Yep. And I didn't say that to say either one of y'all are being hard. Y'all said everything great. It was just, I just felt impressed by the Spirit.
Awesome.
Somebody sitting there.
It's good.
And just feeling condemnation.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So,
I got you.
Tuesday question number two. The first one was answered by Gary Cox. It was Melita. What was the name of the island where Paul and his companions landed after shipwreck? Tuesday question number two, sponsored by Higdon Lane Surveying. In what Syrian city did Elisha visit a sick king? Be right back here after the break on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network. All right, we are back here on this May the 14th, 2024. Getting ready to get into the manna for today. Miss Hannah, tell them a little bit about our guest coming on at 8:30.
Yes, so we have Corbin Harris. He is the head coach of the cross-country team at Campbellsville University, and he is a believer, and so he's going to share some of his experience with – he's been involved with like FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, different Christian associations with the athletic department, and he's going to talk about just kind of his experience in that, and then also just some parts of his testimony of coaching, being able to share his faith with students, people that are athletes that he's working with, and how the Lord has allowed him to be a light in athletics. So just kind of a different type of interview than we normally have, but he just, you know, popped in my mind because I went to school with him there.
You run cross country?
No. Know. What was the word? I was like a...
You was like a water girl for it?
Not a water girl, but...
That's what I want on the cross country. For
a manager,
I'll be the water boy.
Like, I would help with, like, the stop clock and, like... Yeah. It was like some sort of serving thing. It was considered to be a manager. I was like his assistant.
So could you say you were on the cross country team?
I guess so.
That's what I need to do.
I did run track in high school 1 year, but that was only because Ethan did it. But it was nice. It keeps you in shape. But anyways.
That's love if you're willing to run for somebody.
You ain't kidding.
I was willing to join DECA with him, like just anything, spend more time together when you're young. But
that's awesome.
But yeah, Corbin, he loves the Lord, and he's always been a light. And so he's going to talk about that.
Awesome.
That sounds great. It's awesome.
I'm going to ask him why he didn't let you run. He made you be a manager.
He probably wouldn't have wanted me to run. He's actually really has a lot of talent. Like, yeah. He still runs, and he ran for the team when he went, you know, was a student, and then he started to coach.
Okay.
So
I don't run.
He's fast.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So
I'm not fast.
He can talk to us about this endurance thing, maybe.
That's right. That's it. Yeah, that's it. So I don't run, Brother Aaron.
I eat.
That was one of my least favorite things to do in preparing for basketball season, I'll tell you that.
That's why I went to golf. I don't have to run in golf.
You know, in some sports you think, what do they do for conditioning? In some sports, you know what I'm saying? I mean, so.
Look,
is the main thing in golf for
you? You don't have to need conditioning.
Okay.
Because during the summers and springs and stuff, we played all day, every day.
Yeah.
And we were young, so we couldn't use golf carts. You had to be 16.
Right.
So your average, you walk 6 miles per round on average. When you play 18 holes, you walk 6 miles on average. You have a 50-pound bag on your back. When you do that 2 to 3 times a day, we were walking 18 to 20 miles a day.
Wow.
And we did that every single day.
Yeah.
You didn't need conditioning.
Right.
Your calves were the size of a basketball. And it just was like you were. Now, sometimes I did take the team, and I was always the player coach. And so I would practice on my own, and I would coach the team.
Yeah.
And because most of the time in golf teams, like, now I had a good coach towards the end there.
Right.
But I gave a lot of lessons. And so I would player coach.
Okay.
Now, most of the time, golf coaches don't coach. Yep. They just kind of ride around on a golf cart. And I'm just being honest. They really do.
Yeah.
That'd be me.
Yeah. My golf coach is really good. He was a good golfer. Great. He could really tell you what you're doing wrong and stuff like that. But I've noticed a lot of golf coaches in high school, they don't really coach. They don't know how to coach golf. They just ride around in a golf cart.
Well, probably because they want to keep a team, but then they just need somebody to be there to help, I guess.
They just need somebody out there. But we would swim the ponds every once in a while at the golf course.
Really?
Yeah, we would swim across the pond and back, and we did that as a team sometimes.
So in high school, though, I know we're kind of off subject, but in high school, like, where did y'all go to practice?
Well, I mean, we at that point, we had Legacy.
Legacy, okay.
Now they play at Lafayette, and then Brett County plays at the Brett County Community Center down there in Hartonsburg. So. And then, like, you know, there's golf courses everywhere. You just find a golf course you have a home course at and play
at. I got you.
And most of the time, if you're on the golf team, you can play that golf course for free because
I got you.
The school pays so much to the golf course.
I got you.
Usually, that's how it works.
No, that's good. It's good. So, that way, you got a place to go to practice outside of where a defined practice is.
Yeah. And we've, you know, when it, like, if it rains, you're just out. Like, you don't practice a lot of golf, you just go play.
Yeah.
Now, like,
I had a little bit more practice sessions with my team, but
yeah,
it was fun. It was fun. Golf's a different sport, but right. We don't run.
I hear you.
Now, if you're going to get really good, you do have to exercise, and you do have to do some stretches and certain weight training because your body has to turn. And that's my biggest problem is my body used to turn a lot better than it does right now. That's my biggest problem.
That's where the running comes
from. Whereas I used to be able to hit a golf ball 340 on average, I'm only hitting it about 305, 310 on average now.
Huh. Wow.
And so it's just not turning the same way.
I'm completely content that I'm not able to – I'm not upset that I can't run as fast as other people. I'm thankful that I have – God's given me the ability to do it, though, because, when I did run, it was – probably the best thing to keep you in shape.
Really?
Running, because it works your whole body. And it makes you feel so much better, not while you're doing it, after you do it.
I hear you.
But it really is. If you can ever start it. Now, I didn't run really fast, of course. I kept my pace, a jog, and then if I wanted to sprint, I would sprint.
Yeah.
But not for very long. But it makes you feel a lot better after you
not me.
Do it.
My body hurts during it and after. one more. I'll do one more text, then you go right. for it. Jason Lee said, if you see me running, shoot whatever's chasing me.
Oh, my God.
I like it. Yep, that's right. That's right.
Just hang the bacon in front of
him. Yep, that's it. Making him run.
Oh,
that's pretty good, Jason. I like
all
that
all right,
one.
Josh.
I
take
like
us in the manna.
All right, we'll go here for this manna in the morning here. I am actually going to Zephaniah 3:13.
Where's that at? Is that Old Testament?
Yeah, I got you. Old Testament, but it's in there. It's in there. So Zephaniah 3:13. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. So each and every time in Scripture when I see the word remnant, I think of the bride of Christ, of course. This verse is a reminder of who the remnant is, and it includes living a holy life. It says here within this verse that we shall not do iniquity. What is iniquity? David once said he was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did his mother conceive him. You may have been shapen one way, but the remnant are not shapen that way anymore. We are the remnant who don't live like the world, but have chosen the things of God. There should be no deceitfulness in the things we say. Some may find it hard not to do all these things, but if we totally surrender to Jesus, then it will be our desire to do the things of God. What are you being fed by? That's a question. I want you to be fed by the hand of God, so when I do lie down, there is nothing to fear, because the peace of God shall rule over our lives. In order to be the remnant, we have to do things that the remnant does. Desire to be holy, live to be holy, and then love to be holy. I know you can, because greater is he that is in you than is he that is in the world. Be strong, stay strong, and we strong. So something about the remnant, I just love talking about the remnant, the bride of Christ. You know, I go back many times. I know from time to time we have new listeners, so I'll go ahead and say it again. But here when I graduated here at Bethel, I went to school here at the school here on the grounds at Bethel and graduated 2000. But I remember that our class at that particular time was called the remnant. And so every time I see the remnant, I think about my classmates at that time, the senior class. I believe we had 8 that year. We had
wow.
8. So anyway, I think about, you know, one of them that graduated, his name was Jason. He was kind of the one that got us on the remnant. You know, there you had the teachers telling you that, well, you need to pick out a class name or whatever. And here we was over there just saying, hey, what we want to be. And I remember Jay said, hang on a minute. We got to really study and think this out. He said, give us a few days, you know, but everybody else was like rushing in. Well, what about this? What about this? He said, whoa, we got to really study this out. So I remember we decided on the remnant. So, but anyway, so that's just for whatever reason where I went to today. And so just knowing that who is the remnant? Those that do not iniquity, those that don't speak lies, and those that don't have a deceitful tongue found in their mouth. And it says, for those are the ones that shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. because of why? Because they're totally dependent upon Jesus. We can't do that within ourselves. If we don't have a desire to love Jesus, if we don't have his spirit within us, guess what? We can't do that. Amen. But with him, we can. So.
Wow, this is just really ministering to me today, Josh, because it's this all connects. So we were in Proverbs 6, and it was literally talking about the things that God hates, which is telling lies, deceitful, tongue, all of that. But then also, the Lord took me to Zephaniah 3 this morning.
No way.
Because he was speaking to me through, you know, the birds that were singing.
Yeah.
And, he talks about in Matthew that how much more, you know, if he provides for the birds and they neither sow nor reap, how much more of value are we to him than the birds?
Right.
And then somehow he took me to this. I didn't even really wasn't familiar with Zephaniah 3, but I was thinking about how there was a scripture about him singing over us.
Wow.
And I couldn't remember where it was at. And it actually came to me through a lyric of a song, but the Lord will speak through whatever we know. He speaks through things that we know.
Come on.
And then I found it that this was the chapter, and that it was just awesome. But I didn't even read. I read the later part where it talks about, for the Lord will remove his hand of judgment, will disperse the armies of your enemy, and the Lord himself will live among you. And on that day, the announcement to Jerusalem will be, don't be afraid, for the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior, and he will take delight in you with gladness. He will calm all your fears, and he will rejoice over you with joyful songs.
So what verse was in?
Those were right after what you stopped.
Okay.
Yeah, yep. It kind of picked up right where you, because you stopped at
verse 3.
Well, okay, then it was a little far down,
okay.
Further down, but it was in this chapter. But it was just cool that you brought out the context of the beginning of the chapter.
I got you.
In your manna, and man, this is just, it was just ministering to me.
Wow.
It was really good.
I know when I started there, you kind of like, oh, I seen like a,
I was like,
your
no
eyes
way.
Bugged out or something. I was like, wow, that's a bunch of spokes. So that's awesome. That's amazing.
And then it talked about the remnant there, and that's just so true. I love what you said about, you know, it all connects, because even that, you know, when he's talking about the birds, that's showing us that we can't do any, like, we need to just let him do everything through us.
Yeah.
Because he's saying, like, don't worry about it. Let me do it. And
right.
Just like what you were saying, you know, the remnant can't do any of this on our own.
That's right.
We have to rely on him, and he will provide for us.
Yeah.
And then if we do, then, I mean, it's just amazing. He's saying, like, I will live among you.
Yeah.
And he does. Like, he lives with us. He literally lives among in our temple.
Come on. Come on.
And it's just, it's really good.
Yes. So. I mean, you know, when you think about a remnant, you think about a piece that completes it. You know what I'm saying? And I remember being in a situation before, like even at my family's or whatever, and so they're making a quilt or they're making something. Everybody needs to bring something. Everybody needs to bring something. And then now you got text going out, hey, everybody got it in, everybody got what they need in it, everybody brought their piece or whatever. But see, you can only tell them to bring it so many times, and then, all right, if it's not. But see, if somebody's missing something, if somebody's not in that, then that piece is what completes it. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That piece is what completes it. So the remnant right now, are you out there this morning, and you're a piece of the remnant that needs to come on in so you can complete it? You see, and we know every day that the Lord tarries, don't come back for his bride. It's another day for someone to come in and complete it. You know, he's gone away to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we can be also. So the place is prepared for us this morning. The place is prepared for your coworkers this morning. The place is prepared for your families this morning. Or wherever you go, make sure that you are the testimony that somebody understands that without them, can it be complete? With them, can you complete it? Now, I'm thankful that I'm in the bride. I'm thankful for people that are around me that are too. But there's so many more that I know right now that needs to be part of who he is, and that's exactly what I want to do. I want to be a part of who he is, because I mean, it's exciting to get together, even this Tuesday mornings that I come and be a part of the body doing what we do here on the radio. You know, it's very exciting to engage with different listeners and those that text back and forth. You know, it's just knowing that every joint supplies, and it's just so much better when everybody does that. So much better when everybody does that. So, anyway.
Amen. But we're going to trust in the name of the Lord.
That's what we're going to
do. Amen. So. Hallelujah. Still raining out there.
It's still raining.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
Going to be raining for quite a bit today, I guess.
Yep. So. I got an important question for you, Josh.
Why do I feel right at this moment? I hope he's right, but I don't know how important it is, but go ahead.
It's really important.
All right, go ahead.
Would you try Dr. Pepper coconut?
Would I?
You like coconut?
Yeah, I like coconut.
Would you try Dr. Pepper coconut?
Would I try it? Would I try it?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm trying to find it.
You're trying to find it? It's not even out there?
It's out there. I just can't find it.
All right. Well, I will say at my daughter and son-in-law's Sunday afternoon.
They had Dr. Pepper coconut?
They did not have Dr. Pepper coconut, but they had Dr. Pepper strawberries and cream.
That's good. I have some of that at the
house. You did like it?
I've tried that before.
Well, I mean, yes, I can go for it, okay? But
it's gotta be a personal touch.
But anyway, so I tried it, and I was like, man, you like that? And my son-in-law, Briar, he said, yeah, I like them. I said, well, that's good. That's good.
Good for you.
I didn't open it, and I didn't waste it, but I drank it. But what I'm saying is it just didn't have that touch I thought.
More for you, son.
Yeah,
that's right.
You
go for it, son-in-law. Whatever floats your boat, buddy.
I had a baby Georgia last evening during young adults.
Yeah.
And so when she got up there, of course, Savannah won't let her have Mountain Dew. I don't know why not. And I said she may or may not have Cheetos, but it wasn't my fault. And she goes, she's okay with Cheetos. I said, okay, because she really liked washing the Cheetos down with the Mountain Dew.
Oh, my goodness.
She goes, well, I didn't say that. I said, don't worry. It's the one with the raspberry lemonade, so it's got to be healthy.
We always tease Rachel's nanny. Uh-huh. Rachel's nanny that, you know, she still drinks. She's 86.
Uh-huh.
And she'll be 86 in June. That's exactly right. She'll be 86, and so she still drinks Mountain Dew like crazy.
Yep.
And so when Maddie was like a little kid, like stealing her bottle or whatever, she would, when Rachel would go over there or whatever, she would pour Mountain Dew in her bottle.
Let's go.
And
let's
do it. So anyway.
Let's go.
So it's kid. And so we always tease her. That's why Maddie, my daughter,
drinks Mountain Dew.
She kind of got away from it since she's been pregnant. She ain't drinking near as much as she used to.
Maybe her taste buds might change.
So hopefully it'll change.
I hope they go back. Ivy, I let Ivy drink Mountain Dew with me all the time.
Yeah.
Mountain Dew, Mellow Yellow, whatever I got. She just hammers her down.
Everybody right now at this moment, all the caring mamas out there right now, got their hand on their forehead thinking,
I'm praying she doesn't
goodness.
Get Dew mouth. Don't look up Dew mouth.
Well, that's for kids that never, they don't brush their teeth.
Wow.
That's true. Jeremy Stone, he's just at it today. Never will I deny the bacon. It will be served at my funeral. When God calls me home, Aaron will be serving the bacon.
My goodness.
I don't think that Aaron actually, we've talked about this. I think people think that bacon is like his only thing he eats.
No. And I rarely ever get to eat bacon.
Yeah.
That's the sad part about life. I can't afford it. But I love Reese's too. Reese's, pistachios. See, for me, I think this, Josh, like pistachios are green. So I am expanding my horizon.
Let me tell you what, now you are getting it.
That's the, you've knocked on the door and now it's about to be open.
Like every
all
time.
All the green food's about to.
Every time out. I eat pistachio,
yep.
I feel a whole nother level of healthiness.
That's good.
I mean, I just feel supercharged. I'm still reeling from that piece of broccoli I ate last year. My body still is cleansing itself. Mm. I'm going through a detoxing. I'm putting the onions on vegetable wrap or whatever it is on my feet. And as I sleep at night, it's sucking the toxins right out of my body.
Okay. Oh, do we have a second trivia question?
Yeah.
Have you ever done that when you're sick?
I don't know.
Somebody told me one time to put onions in my sock when I'm sick and it'll suck the toxins out of my body. I think my feet just smell like onions the next morning.
I have never done that.
Somebody help me out. Somebody help me out if you ever heard that before.
I've never heard that. So
would you do it?
Would I do it?
That would be pretty cool.
No. I mean, I don't guess so. But
I would.
You would?
I put onions in my room. But all right, we'll take a break. We'll be right back here. All right, hold on.
On Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.
All right, we are back in here on this May the 14th, 2024. Miss Hannah, you ready to take us off into our guest spot?
Yes. So we have Corbin Harris here with us. He is a coach, cross-country coach at Campbellsville University. Are you here with us, Corbin?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you good. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well. Recovering from a long week. We were at our track championships this past week. And so, we're back in the office and things are going well.
Awesome. So how did that go?
It went really well. So we compete as a part of the NAI, but also the NCCAA. And the NCCAA is the National Christian College Athletic Association. So we went out and competed at our Christian College Championships. Our men were able to win the national championships, and our women finished second. And so
awesome.
It was a pretty exciting weekend for us.
That's amazing.
You know, so Hannah was your manager, is that correct?
Assistant.
Yeah, she helped out a little bit, helped time some of our workouts, and came to practice and things like that. But yeah.
Yeah. So was there a reason she didn't run for you?
I mean, I offered it.
He was waiting to ask this question. This is Pastor Aaron, by the way.
I've been so excited. I've seen Hannah Tripp walking across the sanctuary. So she says she used to run track in high school. So I'm trying to figure this out. Like, you know,
I never said I was good. I said it kept me in shape. So
I saw
really good at holding a stopwatch.
That's why I stuck with that.
We were doing a play one time and she fell down the steps in the middle of practice out of nowhere, just fell down all the steps.
That is true.
And so I'm sitting here thinking, you would not want her to pole vault.
This is why we're all different in the body of Christ. You know, some are runners, some are not. We all have, he gives different talents to different ones. And that's okay. We don't want to be like each other. That's the beauty of it.
So
but.
Tell me again how good she was at that stop clock.
Well, she could write the notes down and she could hit the lap button and tell me what people ran. That was, I mean, as I've had about four managers and I think she's in my top four.
Oh my gosh. Well, these are two, I would say two athletes, because Josh, you played basketball.
I played basketball.
So yep. I'm in a room with two athletes and they're having fun.
Yeah.
Yep. Making fun of me right
I'm
now.
Over here in the corner just dying laughing right now.
If my husband was laughing right, if he's listening, he's probably laughing too.
I'm dying from the last remark of she's had four managers. She's top four.
That's about like me saying I graduated with seven people and I graduated top 10 in my class.
All right. Sorry, I'll get serious.
Yeah. Let this brother talk for a minute. All right.
Yeah, this is about Corbin. This isn't about me. But so, kind of tell us how. I know you had, when we were texting, you had said that you had never thought that you would be there coaching. Kind of tell us how the Lord led you. I know you went to college at CU. But kind of tell how you got into coaching and what you thought your life was going to look like and how the Lord has used you in the place that you are now.
Yeah, absolutely. So, like you said, I went to Campbellsville myself, and so I ran here. And so I ran cross-country and track under the previous coach, which was Hillary Lake. She was a big figure for me, almost that one of those like outside like second mothers to me. And so after I finished my 4 years here at Campbellsville, I thought I was going to run like one marathon and I'll then try to qualify for the Boston Marathon while I was still in shape. But then after that, I was going to put running behind me. I love sports. And so while I was here, I majored in marketing and sport management. And I really wanted to go into like a ticket sales or marketing role in professional baseball was sort of my dream and what I thought I wanted in life. Mm-hmm. Well, I graduated, came back to Campbellsville for a year to do my master's, get my MBA in marketing. And in that process, that was sort of when COVID sort of shut down everything. And so mm-hmm. that was just a big time of a lot of unknown. And so through all of that, I ran my first marathon. I was a lot better at running marathons than I ever was on the track in college. And so I was like, once I ran my first one, I sort of found a new love for the sport and yeah. really wanted to just even keep pursuing that, thinking I would still go work in baseball, but I wanted to pursue like running marathons on my own for fun. And so through that, I was learning a little bit of how to coach. I'm very, very type A. And so in college, I was very good at just doing what my coach told me to do. I didn't yeah. ask any questions on why we were doing anything. I didn't look up or learn the reason why we did certain workouts or why we ran so much. She told me to go run 10 miles. I went and ran 10 miles. And so this time post-collegiately was the first time I've ever like looked into training on like why we need to do certain workouts and things like that. And so it was a lot of, through COVID was able to learn a lot about running mm-hmm. because I had the time to do it. No one was working and I was trying to just develop myself fully, and so was trying to learn in the sport marketing realm and make connections there. But then because I wanted to be a better runner, I was just coaching myself at the time. As we were coming out of the summer of 2020, my assistant coach, who was the assistant coach here before me, he had stepped down because he was furloughed during COVID. So he stepped down, got a position, a high manager position at Amazon. And so through that, I reached out to my previous head coach, Coach Lakes, and just told her, I was like, hey, I know you need some help. I'll do it. Like, I'll do it for a year. I still needed to finish my master's. So I was thinking I would come back. I would finish my master's because I'd still be at Campbellsville. And I just help out. She was about to have her third child, so she was going on maternity leave. Mm-hmm. So they were about to start the season with no coach. And I just felt like, okay, I need to plug in and just help out. I'll be around. It's better than doing nothing. I came in and, I mean, really the first week I was here, I just really felt a peace and a joy in what I was doing. Even just the simple, like sitting in the office and like trying to come up with a training plan. Like it was just like something that I had just, a peace that I really had never felt with what I wanted to do in life. So that was sort of the start. And then about, 3 weeks later, our athletes moved in, and just through a lot of prayer and intentionality, it was like I just felt the Lord just speaking that this is where I'm supposed to be and this is what I want to do. When the yeah. athletes moved in, I didn't know any. I knew three of them because they were on the team whenever I was on the team. But outside of that, I hadn't been around the team a whole lot. And so really being able just to build those relationships was what I fell in love with doing. Obviously, I love the sport of running, but ultimately, I just really fell in love with being able to build relationships and pour into younger student athletes. And so, and yeah. I've spent a year as the assistant coach, a big learning curve. But after that year, Coach Lakes had decided to step down and pursue being a full-time professor at the university. And so from there, I stepped into the head coaching role. And I've really been able to sort of build a program based off of my values and just sort of where I see the Lord wanting to be at work.
Wow. And, you know, you just see, as you were saying, you know, I said I would just do it a year. You see how it kind of never works out to tell the Lord that, what you're going to do. Because, you know, in Proverbs it talks about, like, you know, the Lord is the one who is ordaining our steps. And, you know, scripture talks about, like, don't say that you're going to go here or go there. Like, you might as well say, Lord willing, I'm going to go here or go there, because he's the one that is directing your path if you're a believer. And I can just see throughout, you know, your journey, the Lord using and opening the doors at the right time, even with, you know, Coach Lakes, you know, what she was going through. Like, he was able to use you to help in a time that they needed help, but also use that to benefit you and to grow you. And something that I've saw in you as, you know, being around CU was just the Lord has given you that gift of leadership to lead your peers and those younger than you. And what a better way than to, you know, lead them and be able to be a light in sports, because that, honestly, I mean, you could attest to this, is a lot of what draws students into Campbellsville. Is
I mean, we have
getting scholarships.
75% of our student body is student athletes, and so being able to be around sports has been instrumental. But the Lord has been able to shape me through this process. I always thought that I'm like I said, I'm super type A, so I have, I mean, I could probably map out my entire year and what I have planned and like my whole schedule. And so I had that set up in my career on what I wanted to do, where I wanted to be, where I wanted to live. But through this, like, I've been able to, like, I've had to take a lot of control off, and just like let the Lord be in control and guide me. And it's been, it's a lot more, I mean, just freeing, just not thinking that I have to like control everything in my life. And, just knowing that, like, because of what he's brought me through in the past, like, my next steps are already like planted for me and I don't have to stress about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It really just puts in perspective how small we are in the Lord's huge plan. So yeah, that's awesome. So kind of talk about, the FCA, like your time involved with Christian FCA and, Christian programs with in athletics.
Yeah. So, whenever I was a student athlete here, Campbellsville, we had an FCA, but it was extremely tiny. I showed up my freshman year to an FCA, and there were five people there. There was four football players and me. I was this freshman cross-country runner. I didn't really know a whole lot of people outside the cross-country team, but I figured I'd give it a shot. But through that, I've seen it really, it's grown tremendously. This past year, really these past few years, Matt Atwood, our wide receivers and special teams coach here at the university, has really taken a hold of our FCA program here and has grown it to 40, 50 students usually on a weekly basis. And
wow.
So, and it's students, I mean, yeah, they're, because he's a football coach, there is a high football presence, but mm-hmm. it's also a students from, I mean, I would say 8 to 12 different sports are usually represented on a weekly basis. And so that's been huge within just that Wednesday night atmosphere. But you're starting to see that sort of just like continue to foster over into the different like specific programs on campus. And so because students are getting involved in FCA, then you're also seeing a lot of growth within specific teams. This year, one thing we've had in our team that is, that has been extremely beneficial is we've brought in two character coaches. And so that came as a thought from FCA. And so that's where two people from the community just really come in and pour into a specific team. And so for us, Ryan Hood, the pastor's wife at Three Trees Church in Campbellsville, mm-hmm. and Joey Hartledge, who is a youth pastor at the Vineyard Church, and also
Joey,
a former athlete in our program, has really – they've really been instrumental in pouring into the men and women in our team and doing some outside team bonding or coming in. Usually Wednesdays at practice, we're doing some sort of Bible study. And so they've come in and really been able to lead some of those and just being a community presence and bringing a lot of support. And so, FCA has been huge in being a part of like starting thing programs like that, but also just getting kids involved that may not have ever really heard of like who the Lord is and what he can do. And so, and then that sparks conversations that we can have at practice with our athletes.
Yeah. I don't know about you, Corbin, and I don't know where you're, you know, going to church right now or anything like that, but I know from my time in Campbellsville, I saw a lot of students that were athletes actually get kind of connected with churches through the FCA and through the different programs like that, because there were a lot of people that I met that I probably would have never met if it wasn't for them, you know, being invited to church by some of the different people who were involved with that. And so I actually got to see firsthand like results of FCA and how that led people actually to go to church and to, you know, network and see what churches were even available, because, you know, a lot of people, especially that move from different states and things like that, and especially if they don't come from a Christian household, like they don't know how Christianity works. They don't know about those things, but I saw the fruit of that because it was a way for people to build relationships and to kind of like cast that net and draw them in. So have you seen that too, like the fruit of not only them going to FCA meetings, but actually them ending up at church as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's been, I mean, a big part of like just getting kids to do anything is making sure they don't do it alone.
Yeah.
So if a kid comes in and they don't, like, they're, it's hard to, for a college student to want to go to church if they don't know anybody that's going with them. And so really SDA and a lot of the different just programs that the university has as a whole, even if it's outside of sports, has been big in helping build connections. I know one of my, or two of actually the students on the team right now lead just some different ministry opportunities that aren't sports related, but they're just within the campus body at Campbellsville. And even if they're not sports related, they're a majority of the students here are student athletes. And so whenever they're leading those programs, they're building connections with other student athletes. And like that just gives different foundations for people to get involved in different capacities and hear the Lord in different sort of platforms, and then also build those connections that are, is allowing people to go out and be poured into at a local church, but also giving people connections that if they want to go out and serve, that we can actually serve the community as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. And can you kind of explain like what FCA is? And to my knowledge, there are different FCAs at like universities that aren't Christian as well, right? Like public state universities, and most universities have an FCA, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So FCA is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And so it's a large body organization that, I mean, it's worldwide. If you look up, you can probably just type in FCA and it's going to be the one thing that pops up. They have camps that will go on all summer throughout the world. They'll do mission trips to different states and different countries. So they can just, it's really just an avenue to use sports to connect people to the Lord. A lot of people like sports. A lot of people like competing. And so people that have never heard the gospel, they may not be interested if you're coming in to talk about the gospel. But they're gonna be, they might be interested if you're going to come in and talk about basketball. And so sort of just using sports to just make those connections. And it's, I mean, there are FCAs at public schools at the collegiate level, but also at the middle school and high school level. And so obviously they can't be school-sponsored if they're at a public high school, but usually it's, a lot of it, you have a teacher that's just willing to sort of lead and open things up, but it's a lot of it's student-led. How FCA operates is they usually have regional directors, and so the regional directors are in charge of a region of a state, and those regional directors are then going into the local schools and really pouring in to try to find a faculty member that is willing to just invest and pour into the student body in that way.
Wow. So were you ever a leader in FCA? I think that you had talked a little bit about this, but what was your experience? Were you a leader in that?
Yeah, I was. The past few years, I have I've been involved with helping lead along with some of the other coaching staff and Matt Atwood within our team. Whenever I was a student here, I was probably a little bit more involved. That was sort of like the way that I was really heavily involved in campus ministry was through FCA as a student.
Yeah.
As a faculty member, we try to let our students lead a good portion of it. Obviously, we're there to set things up and have events and things like that. But this year, I've been a little bit more hands-off and really trying to invest a little bit more specifically in our team and growing the Christian ministry of our team. But it's still continuing to grow. I would say 25% of my team like goes and is still heavily involved. Two of our athletes are like leaders within FCA, and so
that's awesome.
Yeah, I was involved heavily as a student, and it had been a little bit more hands off since I've been coaching. But usually, like attending on the Wednesday night, helping out where needed.
Yeah, well, I know that there's a lot of parents that listen to this radio station, and a lot of them might have, you know, students that are in high school, in college, thinking about going to college, and that was actually news to me. I didn't know that they had FCA for middle school and high schools as well. And so that's awesome, and hopefully, you know, I think that just literally looking up FCA, you could find how to get involved with it, how to become a leader. But thank you so much for coming on and just sharing your experience. Is there anything else, like any testimony of, you know, a relationship that you've built, or, you know, seeing somebody grow in the Lord that you've worked with as a student at, throughout your time of coaching, that you want to share? Just anything else that you want to share that might encourage someone who is loves sports, or their kids love sports, and just kind of encourage them that they can use this, the gifts of athletic ability that God's given them for His glory. Just anything encouraging that you want to say before we wrap up the interview.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, this past semester is probably the most I've just really seen the Lord at work through coaching, and just through my student athletes. I had two students that came to me. It was probably like March-ish, and they sat down, and one of our goals was, like, I coach a men's and a women's team, and both the men were close to the men, and the women were very close to the women. But one of our goals were, like, we want to be one big body. And the way we were doing that was really just discipling and trying to be intentional about bringing the men and the women together. And we started devotions every week as a team, started doing team bonding, doing some discipleship with certain members of the team. It was absolutely insane just how quickly the Lord worked through that. We had our first, like, weekly Bible study, and the next week, one of the girls on the team that had met with me about, like, feeling like there was a little bit of a divide just said, "We've been hanging out, like, every night, and I don't even know what, like, we didn't even do anything." And so it was sort of cool to see that. But one thing I think the Lord really spoke to me this past week at our track meet that I just, I guess I feel like He's sort of putting on my heart to share a little bit, but we had in our women's 10K this past weekend was one of the most exhilarating, like, moments of, not one of the most, it was the most exhilarating moment of my coaching career. Two of our athletes, both running their last track meet of their collegiate career. One of them has been heavily involved in FCA, and one of them's really been, like, she's been really been growing in her faith. One of them had never ran a 10K before, but we wrote her in to try to give her an opportunity. And the other one has been really instrumental in the growth of our team. And so both of them have been huge on how they've impacted the university and our team in the past 4 years. And they were able to go first and second at the national championships. And, like, as soon as they got done, obviously, like, we're in awe of that performance. Cause we were hoping they would both be in the top five, honestly. Like, that would have been a big day for us. Mm-hmm. But being able to go first and second the way they did, and really what in that moment, like, a bunch of the guys on the team that were there, I just saw them fully supporting the women. And they told me afterwards, they're like, "Coach, like, that race gave me chills." And, like, that was so exciting. And, like, that night, I told the team the next day, but that night I was just, like, reflecting on the race, and the Lord, all the Lord had to say was, like, "There, like, as great as that was, there's much more to this in eternity." Like, this joy is, like, nothing compared to the joy you're going to feel in heaven, in my presence. And so, that was just something that, like, just really resonated with me. Cause as a coach, like, that was the best moment, like, I've had as a coach, celebrating that and just knowing that, like, there's much more joy than what I'd experienced, like, whenever I'm, like, in the presence of the Lord. And so being able to share that with our student athletes, like, the next day after they finished up their track meet was something I hope just really resonated with them, but also something that, like, still as I'm getting excited about the race, like, talking about it, like, it's just something that's still sitting on my heart, like, excited for, like, my future in eternity because of that moment and knowing how much joy there was then, but also knowing how much more that there is.
Yeah, that was actually something I was going to bring up, was the thing that is awesome about running, and honestly a lot of sports, I think the Lord could really speak through a lot of different sports about self-discipline and so many different things, but He uses what's familiar to us to speak to us. We talked about that a little bit today, but I just really love that, and I do believe that planted seeds in your teammates, and, you know, even if they didn't show anything for it in the moment, like, speaking about that gets people thinking, it gets their mind turning, it gets their spirit thinking, you know, okay, like, where am I going to end up in eternity? Like, how is my heart with the Lord? Even if they don't know the Lord, when you start talking about eternity, it gets people thinking about that. And and so that was just a really good word. And I just want to, I don't know, I just feel led to do this, Corbin, but is it okay if we pray for you as we head out? So that, you know, we're kind of wrapping up, that we were out of time for the interview, but I just want to pray for you.
Yeah, I love that.
Do one of you all want to lead this?
Well, I'd love to.
Okay.
All right.
We just want to pray that, yeah. I just feel like we should pray that the Lord will be with him, and, you know, any message that he wants to give him, that he would be obedient and just be open, because I think the Lord can Amen. Is really using him at
That's
the
it.
College.
That's
so.
Great. Lord, we come to you right now. We just thank you, Lord God, for this morning. Lord, yes. I thank you so much, Lord God, for Brother Corbin, Lord God, and the work that he's doing for you there at Campbellville.
Yes.
I ask you right now, Lord Jesus, you just move upon his life, Lord Jesus, and open up doors, Lord God, that maybe he don't even know right now, Lord God, what you have for him in the next phase, Lord Jesus, or what you would have for him to speak or say. But I thank you for the voice that he has right now, Lord God, even as in the last 30 minutes, Lord, as he's talked about his heart and talked about what he does, Lord, for you. I thank you, Lord God, for self-discipline. I thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity that he has, Lord God, to pour into so many young adults, Lord Jesus, to be able to help them to realize, Lord God, that this is greater than where you are now, but you're going to a place of where he is later. And I ask you right now, Lord God, that as you prepare Corbin's heart, Lord God, for Lord Jesus, maybe what he's thinking about right now, maybe he's studying something, maybe he's thinking about what he can do to advance his team better. I pray right now, Lord God, that Lord Jesus, that he's going to reap from what he has sown, Lord God. There's going to be great rewards, Lord Jesus, in his life, in his family, in the teammates, in the students that are around him, Lord God, that you even prepare him, Lord God, for greater things that are going to begin in Corbin's life right now, that open up many doors for him. In mighty Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Corbin, for coming on.
Hey, Corbin, before you leave.
Yeah, thank you all for having me.
Hey, Corbin, before you leave, out of the four, what would she rank?
Oh, my Lord. Don't answer that.
Thank you. It was a great interview. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day for us. Blessed, my brother.
Absolutely. Thank you all so much.
All right. We'll see you.
I don't feel like he could accurately rank me because I actually wasn't with him for very long. I started late in the season, so and I think it was like a work study. I can't remember what got me into it.
They were trying to study Hannah.
My goodness.
Well, what happened was I was a lifeguard for the university, so it started. They would come and do conditioning. They would swim. And somehow I think that connected me with it because I was a lifeguard, and then I got connected in
there.
So was FCA not big in high school when y'all was there?
I don't think so.
I mean, when I was in middle school, we had about 100 kids in FCA. And then
it might have been.
It. Rachel texted me and said that she was in FCA for 2 years.
Yeah,
really?
Yeah. So. I went to – I did an FCA meeting, and I only got to do it one time. They didn't invite me back afterwards. but I did an FCA meeting at Brett County – probably about 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah, I remember that. You went out there.
And probably about 150, 200 kids there that morning. And about, I don't know, I probably had 50 to 75 to hang back and talk to me afterwards about some things I talked about and
That's awesome.
Needing prayer and stuff like that. So it was a big...
It's really reaching people.
Yeah,
I mean,
I love
colleges.
FCA. Yeah, I love it. It's an opportunity. So if... We need to check, see if that's still going strong or not. Because if not, then we need to figure out some way to get FCA stirred up. Because it is a wonderful opportunity.
Yep.
We're out of time. We love you guys. Be blessed. Have a great Tuesday. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time, here on Mornings of Box 2 Radio on the Box 2 Radio Network.